Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, hi everybody, and welcome to King's of Anglia podcast, stroke video, stroke vlogcast, whatever they call them these days. It's another Ipswich Town favourite 11. Now, I started this little feature last week. It's gone very. People love it. It's love it, and I'm very thrilled to be joined this week by, well, I call him a fellow king, a fellow friend, a fellow colleague, a man who, well, he knows he's Ipswich Town. So this is going to be really interesting to find out this man's favourite ever Town 11. It's Mr. Andy Warren. Andy, how are you, sir? The end of the football season's finished, so now we've got time to do nice little things like this.
It's good, isn't it? I'm looking forward to doing this. It's not often I get to talk about it, the times that I've enjoyed supporting Ipswich Town in my youth, without giving away too much of the identity of the team that I've picked. A lot of it comes from that rather than my years reporting on them. So I'm quite excited by this.
Now, Andy, I did the first one last week, and I don't think everybody read the title, because I said it's my favourite 11, to which I've been ridiculed. I've had emails, I've had texts, I've had Twitter comments, I've had, why wasn't Beattie in it? Why wasn't Muren in it? Why wasn't Tyke in it? It's my favourite, not my best. Now, this is the thing, isn't it, Andy? It's the favourite team. So, look, everybody's listening and watching this. It's favourite teams, which is a little bit different from my best teams. If I went to my best team, obviously, it would have been almost the 81 team. But that's gone now. We're with Mr. Andy Warren now. And so, Andy, so look, a little bit of background then, my friend. I mean, obviously, people know you as the man who scribes for us here at Archer and the East Anglian, Ipswich Star, current town games. But you've watched them long before you started writing about them.
Yeah. I'm born in Ipswich, grew up in Ipswich. I'll be honest, there were some brief flirtations with other teams as a very small child. I think every young kid had someone pushing them to support Man United briefly, which I, to my shame, had a few little dabbles with in my very young years. My dad is a West Ham fan and followed them a lot, so watched quite a lot of them. But quite early on, went at primary school, settled on Ipswich Town, and was a season ticket holder through from 1997, I want to say, until I went to university in 2005. So I had a season ticket all the way through there, and then ended up doing this roundabout way from after following some other teams for work, ended up doing this job. So Ipswich is the team I definitely very much supported as a lad, and was very lucky with the particular teams that I got to follow.
So there you are, folks. There's a little bio on Mr. Andy Warren. You see, this is not a man who just writes. He's not a man who gives 3 out of 10. He doesn't do it just for the sake of it, you know, guys. I mean, this hurts when he has to give a 3 out of 10. This is not something he does with great pleasure when his finger hangs over the number 2 or the 3 or the 4 on his keyboard. What is he going to press for a match rating player? This is a man who knows he loves his Ipswich Town. So anyway, well, look, well, there's a little induction to Andy Warren and Ipswich Town. So now we get into the nitty gritty, Andy. So I'm going to leave you just to, we'll go bit by bit. We'll tell us a little bit about your formation, a little bit of your thoughts behind the team as a whole. And then perhaps we can start with the goalkeeper.
Okay. You want my philosophy. That's what you want here.
If I could spell it, I would have used that word, but I've got to type it as well, you see.
Right. Philosophy. Put a lot of thought into this. I've probably done about 10 to 12 drafts of this team. I've changed formation 4 times, but ultimately, for my own amusement, I've settled on Ipswich Town's current formation and tried to fit them into that. Because this isn't the first time Town have played 3 at the back. Burley did it. It has happened plenty of times, but I thought I'd go 3-4-3. I'll be honest, when we get to the strikers, it doesn't quite fit into what Kieran McKenna was doing, but I've just named three strikers that I really liked. That's the bit of the team I found really difficult. But yeah, I actually think it's quite a good team, ultimately. This is my favourite team, as you said. This isn't the best 11 players that I think have played for Ipswich. It's my favourite. And but I think they'd do all right.
But a competitive team, Andy, which is...
Yeah, definitely.
A competitive team. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Well, that's excellent. So, look, so right. So, well, obviously, we start with the goalkeeper, Andy. I mean, obviously, that's where we all start. Now, you've obviously seen a few goalkeepers in your time. So, where are we at with this then, Andy?
I love goalkeepers, Mike. Yes, I am 5'7", but in my youth, I was...
You were 5'9".
Yeah. No, I used to be 6'4". But in my youth... I was quite a promising goalkeeper, Mike. I was reasonably good. I always love goalkeeper, and that is the area of all football teams that I enjoy talking about the most. So can you indulge that? Some goalkeeper chat? Right. For my starting spot, there were two serious contenders here and a couple of wild cards. Let's go wild cards first, shall we?
Yes.
Favourite, I loved Matteo Cerreni, the Italian. And I loved him because he was flamboyant, he was erratic, and he was fun. I loved the way he kicked the ball, which was, if you remember, he kind of chucked it up in the air and almost kind of like side kicked it.
Yeah.
It was an odd approach. I loved it when he dyed his hair blonde. I loved it when we didn't know whether he would be turning up for pre-season training once they'd been relegated to Division One. So... He's had his issues off the pitch since he's finished, but he didn't make the team. I loved Neil Alexander, who was only at Ipswich for 6 months, but made a habit of saving penalties every week, it seemed. I loved him, but it ultimately came down to a choice of two, and it's probably the obvious two for the era that I watched Town. So, and I must also mention Bart at this point as well. He would have been on the long list, as I think in a few more years Christian Walton probably would be. But it came down to Richard Wright and Kelvin Davis for me. Now, Kelvin Davis, I thought, was a brilliant goalkeeper. His kicking was outstanding. I think he could hold his own in the modern game in terms of goalkeeping. I thought he was brilliant, but it's got to be Richard Wright, the local boy. And I've got some props for this.
Wow.
This is holding up my yellow Ipswich Town goalkeeper kit in large boy, which was this was from the 99 large boy size. Doesn't fit now. There's a reason I'm holding it up, Mike, and not wearing it. That's what the sizing used to be though, wasn't it? Large boys, was called.
Wouldn't do that now.
But yeah, I loved this kit as well. And what I really loved was they had a second version of this. I think he only wore once or twice, but the colours were inverted. So it was black, but with yellow, where all the black is on this kit. And I loved that. So Richard Wright gets my starting spot because he is the first goalkeeper that I really loved watching. When I used to play in goal myself, I used to mimic him in the way that his mouth hung up. Do you remember his mouth kind of hung open a little bit while he was while he was playing? I used to do that. Don't know why, but Richard Wright did. So I thought I'd do it. And he was a brilliant goalkeeper, wasn't he?
He was. I mean, I liked Richard a lot. I mean, we forget, of course, he played for England. I mean, this is a guy, you know, he reached the highest levels. And of course, who remembers a 2000 penalty save? Oh, wow, at Wembley. Oh, gosh, yes. Good shout there, Andy.
I was so sad when he left, Mike. It was always going to happen, wasn't it? He was always going to leave at some point, but I think if he'd stayed, Ipswich might have stayed up.
Yeah.
I think they mucked themselves about with goalkeepers after he left. He was so dependable for so long. He never felt like he made a massive error. There was obviously the kicking incident on the divoted pitch at Birmingham in the League Cup, but you never felt like there was going to be a big problem. He was just so dependable. And then they went to Cerreni and Andy Marshall, and between them, they just had a bit of a mess of a season. And I think that contributed to them going down. But yeah, Richard Wright's my number one. Can I keep talking about goalkeepers? Is this all right?
You can, my friend. We've got all day.
Have we? All day. Great. I loved, what I really loved was his his kind of battle with Nicky Weaver as kind of like the young, the young guns. Do you know what they reminded me of? Are you, have you played Street Fighter on the Mega Drive, Mike? Are you aware of that? Okay, we'll carry on. Many people would have done. There's two characters on Street Fighter, right, called Ryu and Ken. And they're both these two kind of Japanese-styled martial arts guys. They all do the same moves. They're completely, they're almost identical in their abilities. But one of them you kind of root for. And the, I thought Ryu was the one that you root for. And Ken was a bit like, ah, what's the point of Ken? So Richard Wright was my Ryu and Nicky Weaver of Man City was my Ken. They were meant to be the next England number one for 10 years and neither of them managed that in the end. Mainly because David Seaman just never packed it in, did he?
No, he didn't. Richard up. He didn't. And of course, Richard went off to Arsenal. Things never really sort of, things never really worked out really from that point on. It was a shame, really. Been another decade at Ipswich Town. Who knows what he might have achieved, but that's a good move for him, was it, to move? But yeah, big loss. It was a big loss when he went.
Yeah, so he's my number one.
Excellent. Well, that's a great start. I mean, that's the end of the podcast. We've been going about half an hour, but that's
we could do a goalkeeper one day if you want, mate. We just talk. I could happily talk Ipswich Town goalkeepers for half an hour with you.
Brilliant. Well, I think we ought to. We all get an Ipswich Town goalkeeper on here to talk to you about Ipswich Town goalkeepers, Andy.
I'd be up for that.
I know you would. Right, so there you go. So there you are, Richard Wright. Richard Wright in goal. Well, what a great choice. I mean, how can you not have an England goalkeeper in goal for Ipswich Town? Fantastic stuff. So you talk, but you've then, see, you've gone a bit left field with this formation, you see, Andy. This is going to throw everybody with your three at the back. All these Ipswich Town wonderful defenders you've seen in your time, and you've gone for just three of them. Well,
yeah.
There you
go. Well, the first one, the right-sided one, sure, he wouldn't. If this was a best 11, he wouldn't be even close. But this is my favourite players, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Genoi Dinassian.
Oh. Absolutely understandable. Completely understandable, Andy.
He is the most fascinating football player, kind of journey-wise, that I've ever known at Ipswich. It's been absolutely ridiculous. His journey to being... Finally, 4 years after signing, he's finally like a permanent fixture. Like, he should, all things being equal, he'd have been gone three times in there. Signed from Accrington, but they then realised they couldn't sign him full time straight away because of his work permit issues. So he went on loan. By the time they ultimately were able to make that permanent and paid the 750 grand, Paul Lambert had decided he didn't want him and would quite happily have pulled the plug on that deal. They couldn't. So within a week of paying 750 grand for him, they loan him back to the team they bought him from. Then he ends up having a bit of a in and out of the team, always doing okay in that time. But then he goes out on loan to Fleetwood again and you think he's done, and then he comes back, everyone else has been sold, and he's like, yeah, we will have a look at you, Genoi, because we've not seen you, but there's every chance you're going to go. Then he's second in the Player of the Year voting. It's outrageous.
I always thought, Andy, when every time Dinassian suddenly popped up on the team sheet, which was like once every sort of 12 games, suddenly his name would appear there. Every time he played, I sat there at Portman Road or wherever he was and thought, well, what? He's a good... This bloke's having another solid game. He had a solid game every... I don't remember him making huge ricks or muck-ups. I thought, why does this guy not get a look in then? Before, obviously, now he's getting a big look in. So, yeah, good shout, Andy. Good shout.
So he's in, and that might raise a few eyebrows, but it's favourite 11.
Favourite. Yes, I wish I'd said favourite 11 about 15 times in my piece, because I said I never did, and everyone thought it was my best 11, which included... Well, never mind. That's me gone. Anyway, Andy, so Dinassian's in. Who's he alongside?
Right. The man in the middle is an absolute titan of a man, Tony Mowbray. As solid a man, I think, you will ever find. Brilliant defender. Just everything you'd want in a football player, I think. An absolute ox. I was very young when Ipswich signed him. So kind of I remember Ipswich signing him. I remember him coming into the team. But what I really remember him for is coming back into that playoff winning team, probably around October time. He'd basically retired, hadn't he? He was coaching. Yeah. he'd basically retired. Things weren't going particularly well, and George Burley sort of pressed the emergency button and brought in a 38. I thought he was like 38 or 39. He was only 36. I'm 36 this year.
I know.
But at the time, I was looking at him thinking they've brought the old boy back. But that's me now. He changed that team. And to score in that game, his last professional game, to score such an important goal in it was amazing. So I've been fortunate enough to meet Tony since. And he's a wonderful man. He's been really generous with his time to me over the last few years. And just a bit sad the stars have never aligned for him to come and manage the club, because it felt like it should have happened, didn't it? Do you think at some point? I don't know if they ever will, but it just feels like the stars have never quite lined up. He's been in work when Town have needed managers. He's been out of work when Town have had solid managers, and it's never quite worked out. But I know very well that Tony loves Ipswich Town and everything that Ipswich Town did and meant to him.
Absolutely. Of course, that video you did of the Wembley 2000, listening to Tony Mowbray on there, you get that Ipswich Town love, don't you? Meant a lot to him, his personal life and everything. Ipswich Town gave him a huge uplift in what was a difficult time for him. So, but a great man. As you said, I remember interviewing him a couple of times as well when he was here. He was always real gentleman. You know, as footballers can be a bit scatty and all over the place and a bit sort of, or, you know, he was so solid, wasn't he? A person. Oh.
Yeah, oh, proper. He's yeah, he still is. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Proper man. He's a great man. And it's been brilliant for the football club.
Right, Danasian and Mowbray. And on the left, you have who? I assume he's on the left. You're not having two on the right or some strange formation, are you, Andy? That, you know, fans are going to go, well, what's he done?
Yeah, I've stacked my centre backs three on top of each other. So it's a very skinny wall. No, on the left, I'm not sure he ever played in this system for Ipswich, but I think he would be absolutely perfect for it. Herman Hreiðarsson.
Ah,
on the left side. He played centre-back in a two, I'm sure. Played left-back a lot. But in that kind of left-sided of a back three, I think he would be perfection in that role. I loved Herman. I was in the year below his stepson at school when he came over here. So I kind of gravitated towards him a little bit. We used to play football together at lunchtime. He wasn't very good, but Herman was, and he was brilliant. I loved how high his knees would go up when he was running up and down the left side, almost up to his chest. He could cross a ball. He was brilliant in the air. Herman Hreiðarsson, I think, would be a brilliant left side option in a back three.
And of course, he's famous flying off into the North Stand, which, of course, we I mean, I always thought, I don't know if I was never in the North Stand at that time. There's people listening to this probably were who actually caught him. There's probably people listening to this who actually caught him as he hurled himself in the North Stand. Was that game against Bradford? I can't remember.
Yeah, he didn't even score, Mike. Wasn't even his goal.
That wasn't his goal, was it? He just decided, I'm taking off. Now, someone listening to this podcast must have caught him because it was what you call the floating. He was just floating on the fans. It was a wonderful moment. Mm.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's the kind of the iconic image of Herman Hreiðarsson, wasn't it?
He deserves to be in any fan's favourite team for that alone.
Mm. Yeah. 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 No, he was great. And another one that it was a real shame that he kind of came to an end. He was one of the ones that had to be sold off on the cheap in the administration times. Mm. That was a sad moment, but he's in my team anyway.
Quite right. Excellent. Well, that's a good. So we've got Wrighty, we've got Danasian, we've got Mowbray, and we've got Hreiðarsson. So we go into the midfield. We go into the sort of the era, the playmakers or the grafters, whatever you want to call them, Andy. I mean, you've gone for five. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent and all sorts in here.
It is actually a midfield four because I couldn't really allow the attacking midfielders ended up being another striker. So it's a midfield. What do you want? Do you want the width? Do you want width, or do you want my middle pairing first?
Well, what are you more? Are you more a width man, or are you more sort of? Do you like the centre of the park? The grunting in the centre of the park.
I appreciate that I need to have some width in this team, but if I could have played with four, if I could have played with four central midfielders in this, I would have done. because that's, yeah, that's something I really appreciate. But there was one name that was always going to be on here in the middle. And I've got another prop.
No. Oh, of course. If you're watching, if you're listening to this on audio, Boom, by the way, and you'll think to yourself, what's Andy Warren doing? Because he keeps telling us he's got these props and we can't hear it. Well, I'll tell you what he's doing now, shall I? He's holding up Matt Holland 8 shirt. What a legend. What a shirt.
I couldn't not pick Matt, I'm afraid. Captain Fantastic. All-round good midfield player. Was obviously massive in the team that ended up getting promotion, and then the team that finished fifth in the league. And he was brilliant. Absolutely loved Matt Holland. Everything you would want a captain to be, I think, both in terms of his play and in terms of how he kind of represented the club and the image that gave off. He's obviously involved in the club again now. He's on the board of the Community Trust, which is a great thing because... I'm delighted to report that he is indeed the exact bloke you would hope he was. Yeah, because so often people aren't they? They're not.
He comes over. It goes when you used to go around clapping the fans after. You think, what a nice guy he is. I wonder if he really is a nice guy. He is. He is a nice guy.
And he's
a fantastic man. And I think, do you know what? I'm going to say something a bit controversial here, Andy. Do you agree with this one? Do you think he's a little bit underrated? Do you think fans didn't appreciate how good he was? Because there's another guy who played in the World Cup for Republic of Ireland, led Ipswich to the Premiership, you know, captained that team, Burley's team for all those years, you know. And I still think, I don't know if he was underrated. Did people underrate him a little?
I think he probably was underrated. I think most people were probably pretty sure that he was a really, really important part of that team, but he didn't necessarily kind of get the headlines, did he?
That's where I'm coming from. He didn't get the headlines like others did.
But that's because his midfield partner was Jim McGilton, who grabbed the headlines and made sure that he was kind of the focus of attention. Then obviously you've got Marcus Stewart scoring the goals and other players like that. He probably didn't want the headlines.
He was he's a fantastic guy, Matt Holland. Right, brilliant first choice of your midfield, Andy.
Yeah. Now, this is where I had a real deliberation here. Because I love Jim McGilton, Mike.
Me too.
He was a great player. Mm. Passing ability to die for. I loved the fire that was in him. But there's a midfielder that I loved more. It's Tommy Miller.
Ah, yes.
He's my Tommy Miller is my kind of midfielder. Proper box to box engine. Arrive late in the box to score, to slam the ball home. Penalties. It was almost perfect from the spot. So he's my partner for Matt Holland.
Mm.
Not Jim. I've put Tommy in, and it took me a while to get there, but that's what my heart was constantly telling me, Mike. Every time it's like, oh, my head says Jim McGilton, but follow your heart.
Very solid player. Very solid player, Tommy Miller. Very solid player. Scored lots of goals. I mean, I know a lot of penalties were in that, but it's not the point he scored them. And yeah, again, someone else, you'd look back in time and think, did he really get sort of the adulation that he should have done? Because such a solid, good player. Yeah, good choice. Good choice, Andy. Yeah. I think Jim will obviously be upset if he's watching this. Obviously, of course he will, because he'll get upset. Because I remember once interviewing him and asked him how many caps he'd won for Northern Ireland. How many he'd won, to which he replied, have one? Are you suggesting I'm not going to win anymore? That was this. And then proceeded to get me in a headlock and ask me, oh, so I'm not going to get any more then? I said, Jim, it was only just how many. Anyway, so
I can imagine
Tommy Miller, brilliant. So Matt Mulholland and Tommy Miller in there. Well, not much width at the moment, Andy. I don't know if we're going to go for any width in the end, are we? We'll have to see what's coming up next.
We are, because there's a big part of me that thinks that this team needs to be functional as well. Because I couldn't just play... If I'd really wanted to, you'd end up putting like strikers at left back just because you want them in the team. So the fun in this game is making this team functional as well. So my right sider is from a slightly different era to the others, slightly earlier side of things. It's Mickey Stockwell. As my right sider, who I think I've probably seen Mick Stockwell play every position on the pitch. Right back, right midfield. I think I've seen him play up front before. But he's one of my earlier Ipswich Town memories, is Mickey Stockwell. I used to love him kind of scuttling and shuffling up and down the right side, working as hard as anybody in football. And he was a proper workhorse. But the real reason he's made it into this team is an encounter I had with him when I was still at primary school. Because guess what?
Pray tell.
Me and Mickey Stockwell and Neil Thompson as well opened a bottle bank together.
Oh, wow.
Would you believe that?
Yeah, I know. What a story.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No. Well, we need more. You can't leave it at that end. Was it in a pub? Was it in a pub somewhere?
It was in a pub. Do you remember if I said to you the Golden Key pub?
Yes. Yeah. The Golden Key. Woodbridge Road?
Yep. It's a Sainsbury's now. It's a little Sainsbury's now. But at school, at primary school, St John's Primary School, good stock there, Mike, isn't it?
Good stock. I went there. Yes. We went there and we had it. Yeah.
Yeah. there was a little competition where you had to, I think it's probably run by the council or something, where you had to, it was all about recycling and learning about recycling, and you had to do a bit of art to kind of represent that or something. And somehow, with a significant amount of help from my mum, my bit of art about recycling bottles was picked out as the winner. And the prize was to open the bottle bank and cut the ribbon and put the first bottle in. So I did that, and Mick Stockwell and Neil Thompson were involved as well. And Mick Stockwell lifted me up so I could cut the ribbon of the bottle bank and put the first bottle in. Now, I've searched our newspaper archive so many times for this picture because I know it was in the paper, but I cannot find the picture anywhere. But that picture does exist of me and Mick Stockwell opening a bottle bank together. So
you see, now this is why it's people's favorite 11. You see, this is what it's all about. You see, these type of stories, Mick Stockwell's got to be in your favorite 11 with that story. What an absolutely wonderful story that is, Andy. I mean, Mickey Stockwell, as you said, played everywhere. I mean, I wonder if people, there's obviously people listening and watching this who saw him score. I think he scored two at Wimbledon up front one Tuesday night or something.
In the red kit,
exactly. I mean, that was Mickey Stockwell. Wherever you played him, you got 110%. And also, he opened bottle banks. I mean, this was the thing. I mean, back in the, you know, we're all green now, aren't we? We're all recycling this and recycling. Mickey Stockwell and Andy Warren were years ahead of the game.
And Neil Thompson. I haven't included Neil in this team, and I feel bad for it. But he must get the credit for the bottle bank incident because he was involved too.
Neil Thompson, what a left foot he had.
I don't quite have the footballing memories of him to be able to, because Mick Stockwell went on that little bit longer at Ipswich. So that's why Mick's made my team and Neil Thompson hasn't, because I haven't quite got the same level of memories of watching him play. He couldn't make this team on bottle bank stuff alone, Mike.
You have to draw a line. There has to be some footballing sort of part to your favourite 11. You can't just pick personalities on bottle banks and stuff. No. Excellent. So there we go. So that's a midfield. That's a midfield. That's a terrific midfield there, Andy.
You need one more, though. You need a left side.
I can't wait. It's carry on.
I know. It's enthralling, isn't it? Right. Come this on. One is shoehorned in a little bit because this isn't really his role in the team, but he is a midfielder. Sixto Peralta. I loved him. Proper street footballer, a brawler, a baller. Only one season, but he was great to watch. Could he play the left-sided role? I think you'd probably be in the current Ipswich predicament of today, where you're not sure that he's completely the man for that role. But Hrydason is going to be so good in his position that there's a bit more freedom. This is my justification. There's a bit more freedom for Peralta to play from the left because of Hrydason's presence. So, Sixto Peralta makes it in.
Very popular player, Andy. Sixto Peralta was. Like you said, he wasn't here very long, but I know a lot of people who might actually nudge into the people's favourite 11s because he just had a little aura of his curly, with his curly black hair.
Yeah.
And he's charging around the pitch. And he was street football. A very good description of him, I think. That's exactly what he was. Good. What happened to him, Andy? Do you know? Did he go? Was he come from Inter or somebody? Where was he?
So he was on. If you go and find it on our website, Mike, there is in the last few years, I've had a long in-depth chat with Sixto about what happened after Ipswich. But what happened after Ipswich was I went back to Inter. He left his car. He was hoping to come back and play in Division 1 after relegation. And as a result, he left his car in the car park.
At Portman Road?
At Portman Road. And there were so many people walked past. That's Sixto Peralta's car. He's coming back. But sadly, they couldn't get the deal done. And he had to say, I think he sent his dad over to drive it back to Italy for him, or a friend or something. And that did eventually go. He ended up playing in Romania for quite a long time. Do you remember, sort of in the mid-2000s, a Romanian club team, Cluj, had a fair crack at the Champions League,
yeah.
He was in that team. So he had a good amount of Champions League football. Then he went back to South America. I think he played for River Plate for a bit. Did the rounds of some of the bigger clubs in a few different South American countries. And he's I think he was getting, when I was speaking to him, he was just beginning to think about getting into coaching. So he had a very good career after he left.
Part of your favourite 11, Andy. Wonderful.
A big honour. For him.
Wonderful, fantastic. So there we are. So there's Andy's midfield. I mean, Andy, just take us through where we're up to then with your team. Name us the team we're up to at the moment before we get into the strikers.
Okay, so we've got eight in place. We've got Richard Wright in goal, a back three of Genoid Anassian, Tony Mowbray and Herman Hreiðarsson. Eclectic mix there. And then a midfield four of Mick Stockwell, Tommy Miller, Matthew Holland and Sixto Peralta. That's where we're at.
Fantastic. I like it. It's a team of entertainers as well. There's no doubt about that. Some entertainment there, isn't there, Andy? No doubt whatsoever.
Oh, there's more to come. Don't worry about that.
Oh my goodness. I mean, if you watch and listen to this, you want to go and get yourself a cup of tea before we get into the final throws of the strikers. Just put us on pause and go and make yourself a cuppa, because this is going to be good. We now go into the final throws of who's going to bang in all those goals. Well, see, Matty Holland used to score a lot of goals, and Tommy Miller's obviously going to take the pens. So we're well covered in that department. But strikers, Andy.
Right, we've got three strikers. I think two of these are both kind of capable of dropping a little bit deeper and creating a little bit. Two of them are both capable of scoring goals as well. So I'm going to start with the one that I've got a prop for.
Another prop?
Yep.
Wow. Oh, yes. Friends, if you're on audio, so you can't see what Andy is holding up a video, obviously you can. I'm going to tell you, it's only a Pablo Camargo number 9 signed shirt. This extraordinary, what a prop that is, Andy. Pablo, ole, ole, ole.
Ole, 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 ole. Pablo. What a player. He is a unique football player. I have never seen anybody else play the game still the way that Pablo Cunhago does. Back to goal, so strong. And it's quite easy to read in some ways, but it's also quite hard to stop. Just the twisting, the turning. He would get his back to a striker and try and turn them, to a defender, sorry, at every opportunity, try and turn them and twist and cause trouble. And I absolutely loved watching Pablo play. He was unique. His first touch was brilliant. His control was brilliant. And I want my team to get the ball into Pablo's feet. And then I want his very good friend, Tommy Miller. They're still very close, those two, to get up close and have the ball laid back to him and lash it into the back of the net. That is a route to goal for this team. But there was no doubt whatsoever that Pablo Cunhago would make it into my favourite Ipswich Town 11.
Good shout, that. Coventry at home.
I wasn't there for that because I do have this, and this team reflects that. I do have this little kind of dark period in my Ipswich Town watching watching life, which was in kind of university days where I was living in Leicester at the time. I got back to quite a lot of games, to be fair, probably more than I should have done. But then I started working in sports journalism. My first job was, I did rugby union, covering Worcester Warriors in the rugby premiership, and then Swindon Town. So that took me from like 2008 to 2015 doing the combination of those two. And that little period is a dark period in my Ipswich Town watching career, but I don't, Pablo would already have been in on the strength of his prior work before his second spell anyway.
Well, you might be able to help me out, Andy, here, because I can't fully remember this Coventry story, but it was something like, I think it was a ridiculous game where Coventry equalised in like the 95,000th minute or something, like 20 minutes of extra time, and everyone is pouring out of ball because they're fed up. And from the kickoff, I think Pablo goes up the other end, I think he might have come on as a sub, and just whacks it in the back of the net within like 20 seconds of the kickoff.
Yeah.
And all hell is let loose. It was
outrageous.
It was an outrageous game.
I think Connor Wickham was involved in that. At some point, I think, and it was this funny little scooped, chipped finish over the top.
And I remember it being absolute chaos because so many people had gone home so fed up. I think Coventry scored too late. I can't remember the football. My memory's not as good as it was, Andy, but I mean, obviously, people watching this will know the game we're talking about. Pablo, what a man. So he's in yours.
Can I interrupt? The goal, Coventry's goal was scored by Richard Wood, who ridiculously played against Ipswich a month ago. He's still going with Rotherham.
Is he really? Gosh, blimey, how long ago was that then?
That must have been
15, 18 years ago, surely. Yeah.
Late 2008, 2009, maybe.
Blimey. Okay, so there you go. Pablo's in. We've got two more to fill, Andy.
Shefki Kuchi. Again, I've never seen a player play the game the way that Shefki Kuchi does. And I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I think it is. Another unique football player who, let's cut to the chase, wasn't very gifted. But my word, he made up for it with heart and desire and occasionally pulling something out, which was incredible, incredible finish now and again. And I loved watching him. He'd chase a plastic bag around Portman Road if you needed him to. And part of a team that was so entertaining under Joe Royal. I couldn't not have Shefki in this team, I'm afraid, because he's a showman, but the most unlikely of showmen.
Mm. Well, he was a showman, and it's absolutely right. His swallow dives were just extra. How on earth he bounced off his chest in the way he did. I mean, it was just a wonderful player, wonderful player. Thoroughly. I always enjoyed Shefki because, as you said, he had a good, it was with Benty. He was up front with Benty, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they had it's a wonderful combination. Everyone talks about combinations, and there was one, and it was
an unlikely one as well, right?
Yes.
Like Darren Bent and Shefki Kuchi don't feel like natural bedfellows in terms of partnerships. But you chuck Tommy Miller into this as well. I'm going to use a big word here, a big word that I like: triumvirate.
Good grief!
Yeah, that's where we're at. Those three operating as a three in that 2004-05 season were unreal, and they all left at the end of that season, as all three of them. I think Shefki went to Blackburn, Tommy went to Sunderland, and Darren Bent got sold to Charlton, and that was a killer for me. That was very, very sad.
Great player, Shefki. Of course, he was back at Portman Road recently, wasn't he? Chatting on the PA, which was nice to hear from him. And he threw his hat into the management ring, didn't he, Andy, for Town?
I think he has managed in Finland. He's managed some big clubs in Finnish, in the Finnish game. But he's very, very keen to get cracking in England as a manager. I think he's finding it quite difficult to get the break. But having spoken to Shefki about management and how he sees things, he's actually a really impressive bloke. The way he plays football, just watching him play football would lead you to believe that he maybe isn't the most kind of thoughtful, deep thinking man, because his approach to playing the game was not deep and it wasn't a thinking man's game, but he is. And he's actually quite an impressive guy when you talk to him about this kind of thing. So I hope somebody gives him a crack at some point, because I think he could do a good job. I don't think it will be at Ipswich. I think he's going to need to go somewhere and show what he can do. But I really hope he gets a chance at some point.
And if you're KOA fans or who love our podcast, I know you like our podcasts, if you flip back through to a Kevin Horlock podcast here on our YouTube channels here, Kevin Horlock told you a very interesting story about Chef Kikuchi and how it almost finished his career. Well, it almost practically did, not in a nasty way, in a very funny way. You'll love the story. So go and find Kevin Horlock's podcast and play it through and listen to the Chef Kikuchi story if you haven't already. All right, Annie, so there you go. So there's two of your three. I'd use the word triumph, but I can't say it. So there's three more. Obviously, there's three up front, and there's I can't use, what is it?
Triumvirate.
Brilliant. So who's the third man?
Marcus Stewart.
Oh.
Don't really need to say an awful lot more about that. Walking in a Stewart wonderland. The gloves, the goals, the moments, had to have Marcus in there. Just how he didn't play, how he didn't get an England call up. Some of the players that have been capped for England in the last in the 20 years since he should have been is outrageous. Some of the players, there's so few games you have to, how little you have to prove sometimes to get an England cap, has really. It's really annoyed me over the years. But Marcus scored 19 Premier League goals in a season and wasn't even called up, which is outrageous. Shame on you, Sven-Göran and Eriksson.
Yeah, it was outrageous. Who was it? Jimmy Floyd Hasbank ahead of him, was he? I think I can't remember. But he was top English man. And yeah, it seems extraordinary that the English guy who scored most goals in the Premiership can't even get a call up, let alone a cap. Mm. Didn't even get a call up. Just that, you know, he should at least have had the decency to train in the squad, because he's a very intelligent player, very intelligent. He didn't just score goals, intelligent player, Marcus Stewart. We all loved him. He's it's funny. I always think of Marcus Stewart. He wasn't here a long time, but the impact he made was massive, wasn't it?
It wasn't even 2.5 years, really. Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, you forget that, don't you? It felt like long, because he went very quickly after relegation. They had to sell him. Went to Sunderland, of course, but it was his movement that was the big thing. The clever movement, was ahead of the game in his head, and with the right players around him, who knew what he was going to do. He was just so dangerous to anybody. Some of the goals he scored were brilliant. The one at Anfield to win there, the hat trick at Southampton. I remember a header at home to Arsenal in the Premier League. Was a really good one. Left Seaman kind of flapping, going to the other corner. And then obviously the goals at Bolton in the playoffs. And then Barnsley at Wembley. He's what a man.
I always remember at the time, it was one of the letters, I was working on the green, I was there at the green at the time. I always remember a letter coming, because somebody, an Ipswich fan, sent a letter saying Ipswich have just spent, I think it's 2.25 million or something on Marcus Stewart from Huddersfield. He'd only been there for 2 weeks. And it's like, how we spend that sort of money on a da 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 da. And I had a letter come in from someone who supported Huddersfield, how they got hold of the green. It was before the internet back then. And they said, are you kidding me? They said, I've just read this letter from him. You have got an absolute bargain for £2 million. This guy will score you 20 goals nearly every season. He'll work his... And he actually described Stewart to a T. And that's how it turned out, which was wonderful. So there you go, Andy. So, Andy, announce your 11. Please, announce your 11.
So my favourite Ipswich Town 11 is Richard Wright in goal. A back three of Janoi Dinassian, Tony Mowbray, Herman Hrydason. A midfield four from right to left of Mickey Stockwell, Tommy Miller, Matt Holland, Sixto Peralta. And then some kind of front three system involving Pablo Cuniago, Chef Kikuchi and Marcus Stewart. I think I'm going to let Chef Ki just be Chef Ki. He can just run and do what he wants. Yeah. And then maybe Pablo and Marcus. Pablo will be in the middle and be kind of like the pivot man. Marcus and him, I think, could link up quite nicely. And Shefki can just do what he wants. Just he's the legs up there and he can charge around. But that's my favourite Ipswich Town 11.
I'd pay to watch them.
So would I.
I would pay to watch that all day long. That's an outrageously exciting and fun team, a real fan-based fun team. But look, I mean, but now we're going to have some substitutes, and we're going to have the manager. In what order do you want to go, Andy? Do you want to just very quickly reel off your substitutes, and then we'll finish with the manager?
Yeah. Well, if I tell you my substitutes, if there's any of them you particularly want to explore further, you tell me. So my substitutes are Kelvin Davis, Thomas Gardso, Chris Makin, Jim Magilton, Darren Curry, Danny Haynes, and James Scowcroft.
Brilliant. You're holding up a Guardsy. Guardsy doesn't say Guardso. You've got a Guardso shirt. Guardso shirt as well. Well, seeing as, again, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, and you didn't have mentioned Darren Curry. You didn't mention Curry. Oh, did you? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, Curry's on the bench. Davis, Guardso, Makin, Magilton, Curry, Haynes, and Scowcroft.
You've got a big bench there, Andy, which Seven. Is great. Seven on the bench. Darren Curry shirt held up as well. Thomas Guardso. Well, I think Darren Curry. Now, there's an interesting chap. Fine footballer. If ever I saw one, a fine crosser of the ball, really nice and tidy little bit of wing play.
Yep, and gave us people on the slower end of the spectrum hope that they could still enjoy sport, because he was very slow, but it didn't cause him trouble. Chris Makin is one I'd like to talk about, if that's all right, quickly. Absolutely. Because if I'd been playing with proper fullbacks, I'd have probably put him in, because I thought he was so solid.
Yeah.
Nothing more, nothing less. Had a bit of devilment in him as well. I really liked him. Guardso, I loved Guardso. Really smooth, silky centre-back. I think he reminds me a bit Wolfenden-y.
Yeah.
In some ways. I think those two have got some quite good comparisons. Danny Haynes is the impact sub, or if this team comes up against Norwich. Mm-hmm. And then James Scowcroft as well. I really like James. I think he could offer something a bit different, and maybe didn't get the credit he deserved either. So let's make up for that by giving him a place on the bench.
Fantastic. What a side, what a subs bench. Now, this team requires a manager. This team requires someone to let their free flowing juices flow over the pitch. Who's the man in the dressing room who's gonna let them just play their game?
It's only one man, really. It's gotta be George. George Burley. Had George Burley not been the Ipswich Town manager building the team the way that he did, I don't think Ipswich Town would have meant what it does to me now. He built in front of our eyes and just got a team of sort of legends, really, in my lifetime anyway. Brought them together. And achieved something brilliant. So George Burley gets the nod, but the only other one that I gave real consideration to would be Joe Royal, who that team was so entertaining.
Yeah,
so entertaining. We've talked about a lot of his players in there, but it was so entertaining. I'd have Joe involved as well. I don't know if Joe would want to be George's assistant, but if he I'm not sure Joe Royal would do that, but if they fancy doing it together,
they could be joint managers. But
they can. But it's George. It's George. It's got to be George.
That's brilliant. Well, what a team. Well, I mean, I don't know if you want to go through it once more. Do you, Andy? Do you want to read it again, or let's read it again? Let's read it nice and slowly with the subs and the manager, just to finish off.
Okay.
A wonderful. It's been lovely to talk to you, Andy. It's just been a delight. Wonderful memories of some of these players.
Now, thank you for letting me. Open my mouth, show off my shirts and spout out my team. So in goal is Richard Wright. A back three of Janoi Dinassian, Tony Mowbray, Herman Hrydason. A midfield of Mickey Stockwell, Matt Holland, Tommy Miller and Sixto Peralta. And a front three of Shefki Kuchi, Pablo Caniago and Marcus Stewart.
And on the subs bench?
And on the bench is Kelvin Davis, Thomas Guardso, Chris Makin, Jim Magilton, Darren Curry, Danny Haynes, and James Scowcroft.
All managed by?
Sir George Burley.
Brilliant. Andy, it's been lovely talking to you about your favourite Town 11, and really, really interesting. We'll do more of these throughout the summer, guys and girls and folks, and I hope you enjoy listening to them. Andy, thank you ever so much. Let's get back now to the current plight of Ipswich Town, and you no doubt got plenty of stories to try and find for us. But Andy, thanks ever so much. I hope you enjoyed giving us your favourite 11.
I certainly did. Thank you very much, Mike.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon. from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.